What is up, everybody? This is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Jake Roos. And listen, we're here for not for a long time, but we're here for a good time. This is kind of the time of year where it's tough to find something to talk about in some ways, unless you want to talk about the same things just over and over and over again. And that's the soap opera we all know is As the Portal Turns. We will get into that. We're going to give Georgia hoops its flowers before we do anything else in this show. And then we're also going to talk about this national championship matchup in the college football playoff quarterfinals or semifinals. But Roos, I don't know how much Georgia basketball you follow, but if I had told you, hey, Georgia in its first five games of the season is going to play five top 20 teams, I bet you would say that there's a good chance they're going to go 0-5, maybe 1-4. Well, they're look up now and they're 2-1 after beating Kentucky and Oklahoma. Not characteristic of Georgia basketball from the 10,000 foot view.
Yeah, you know, I guess I don't follow a ton of it just for the sake of clarity here. I'm just transparent, to be honest. But I've been following this kind of stretch over the last week. And what was interesting to me, Jake, is not necessarily – I mean, like, it was super kind of wild that they pulled off the Kentucky win. I was pretty shocked by that. Anytime, you know, you're taking on a top 10 Kentucky team, your expectations for Georgia basketball, not so high. I believe, though, that was the last top 10 team they beat also, wasn't it? I think I saw
that on that.
What was interesting to me is that they were able to come into this Oklahoma game and be favored against the number 17 team and cover the spread.
Yeah.
So, like, not only are people kind of noticing what's happening in Georgia hoops, Georgia hoops is kind of delivering on what the expectations are. That's a very weird place to come from, I think, for Georgia basketball. Now, can they play spoiler? Yes, we've seen them do that before. We've seen instances where, you know, they've gone in and snatched a game from somebody. But to be a favored opponent against a ranked team and to go in and overperform like that, I think that that's a really nice testament. They got a huge win coming down the pike here with Tennessee up in Knoxville on Wednesday. Who knows, right? I mean, they got a little fire under them right now, so maybe there's a little bit of positive momentum carry over. But at any rate, I would agree with you, Jake. If you had told me that you were going to face five straight out the gate, I would have picked 0-5 probably more than I would pick 2-1. That's for sure.
You know, you bring up such a good point there. It's why I've told people for years and years and years, like, First Take, Cold Pizza, whatever, Jake Roos needs to be on it. This man needs to be the voice of sports today. No, I mean, that is a really good point. Like, they weren't lying in the weeds there to beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma had just lost at home to a very good Texas A&M team. And, don't ever get me talking too much about Texas A&M basketball, because I will start writing sonnets for Buzz Williams, okay? Like, I love that man. Like, I wish that man wanted to be my friend so bad, because I think he's the coolest dude there is out there. Maybe the vest, I don't know. But Buzz Williams took his team into Oklahoma, and – they shot the lights out, Oklahoma did, and A&M just found a way there at the end to beat them. So Oklahoma comes in with a little bit of their back porch itching a little bit there. They're upset about everything that went on in their home court. They come in, they give Georgia a little bit of a fight, but then Georgia kind of pulls away late, and they cover, like you said. Listen, this is not a gambling thing. This is kind of an expectation thing, and that's what Georgia basketball is up against. And it doesn't get any easier, dude, because what if I were to tell you, Jake, that the numbers 1 and 2 team in the country in the polls, that's next for Georgia right now. They play number 1 Tennessee on Wednesday. Then they host number 2 Auburn on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's quite a stretch here. And apropos of, you know, I guess it's semi-related to Georgia, but, man, the SEC, this turn that the basketball has taken, man, is unbelievable. Like, the league has really taken this to another level.
Can I tell you a funny story about that? Sure. Years back, Jason Butt, whenever he was working for the Macon Telegraph, works over at UGASports.com, is one of the best dudes in the entire world. Love him to death. We go to SEC spring meetings in Destin. And one of the things that was talked about at those spring meetings, and Greg Sankey was talking about it, was the SEC wanted to make a commitment at that point to basketball. They felt like that the ACC and even some other conferences, I'm not real familiar with basketball outside of the SEC, I'll be honest with you. It just gets so team and conference centric that it's really tough.
Is the Big East still a thing?
No, it's not. I think it's the AAC or something like that. I wanted to say Big East so bad. That's why I went ahead and said that, so that if I did say Big East, somebody wouldn't be like, you moron. At that point, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, all of those conferences were ahead of the SEC. They made a commitment to it, and man, you saw it kind of on the come up. Like it was Auburn, and then it was Auburn and Tennessee, and it was Auburn, Tennessee, and Alabama, and then it was Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, and obviously Kentucky was there all along. Ole Miss starts to step up. Mississippi State puts together. They add Texas and Oklahoma. It is a loaded basketball league now, and I'm under no delusions. There's anybody watching this right now thinking that Dogs HQ is going to pay the bills by talking about basketball all the time, but when you this is the best week of Georgia basketball since 2007 when they beat Kentucky and LSU in the same week and both teams were ranked. So I think we're well within our bounds. 18 years. Okay. You got kids that were born that day buying cigarettes now. 18 years since Georgia beat two ranked teams in a week. Those kids are out there, but they're not buying cigarettes. They're buying vapes. Let's be honest. But, sure. It is what it is. And I think that's cool, man. I think that's cool.
Yeah, right?
The town has been able to bring in, and the Steg has been a lot of fun this week. My first two games back covering the Georgia beat with Palmer kind of handling some other stuff. Incredible. Incredible environment, the Stegman Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just curious, Jake, watching this team, and I don't think you either would consider yourself some sort of basketball expert necessarily, but
I am now. I am now.
But I do think I am curious this Mike White hire, how you feel like that has gone for Georgia to this point. Like you said, two most successful 7 years. Can he sustain this? Is this more what Georgia is?
I don't even know. Because here's the thing. And I think basketball is the most volatile of all the sports when it comes to this. Everything is close. Like Jordan Hill and I were talking about it at the game the other night. Like one of the things I love about college basketball is – if you are the number 7 team in the country and you host an unranked team that's barely 500 and you squeak out a 4-point win, nobody says, oh my God, doom and gloom.
Right.
You just win. It's a win sport. And, this Georgia team strikes me as the kind of team that is going to play some very, very close games. They've got, 15 more SEC games left in the regular season. They're going to play a lot of very close basketball games, Jake. And are they going to lose a handful of those or get 6 or 7 of those? They probably are. So I don't know about sustaining in terms of wins and losses, but I'll say this. From the time Mike White was hired until right now has been a 10 out of 10, 5-star resounding success. Now, do they fall apart this year? Maybe they do. But at this point right now, that's where they're at. Can Mike White take Georgia and make it a team that hey, man, we didn't go to the Sweet 16. That's kind of disappointing. Can he turn Georgia into that kind of program? I don't know. But to this point, if you coming off that Tom Crean era and you're like, dang, man, we've got to get better. You have gotten a lot better. And the crowd at Stegman Coliseum. Jake, I drove into the game. There's a thing called the Coverdale lot when you come side entrance that goes into the thing. And there was it goes down almost beside like the front entrance over near the basketball facility to the Carlton deck.
Yep.
And over to the side there. And as I'm coming in there, there is a line of students, 2 or 3, 4 students wide on the sidewalk, going all the way from the front entrance of Stegman Coliseum facing Carlton Street, which faces directly north, all the way wrapping back around to the south, I guess it would be the southeast, all the way to the south side of the facility of students waiting to get in line to get into that game. And I came through there an hour and 40 minutes before the game.
Yeah.
So I thought that was impressive. You don't have that normally at Georgia. Things are exponentially better than when Mike White took over. Can he keep it going? I don't know. And I'm not the kind of person that gets his jollies off of saying I was the first to say that kind of thing. So I'm not interested in doing it. And I'm not saying that anybody else is bad if they do feel that way. I'm just not one of these people that's ever even going to come back and say, hey, I was the first to tell you this was going to happen.
Hey, is it true? Is it true about the Josh Brooks thing that he went to the student section and asked them not to rush the court? I read that on our board, and if somebody else has put that out, I
did not see that. No,
I'm not trying to jack that. Somebody on our board at Dogs HQ said that Josh Brooks went to the student section and said, "Please don't rush the court. We'll take the money that we'll save by not rushing the court and put it toward promotions." And he posted on Twitter that he said, "We don't rush the court, we rush the fans." And so it was all the guys hopping into the crowd. But what a job he's done too. A huge credit to him. You know, this Mike White hire looking fantastic. Wes Johnson over on the baseball diamond looking
tremendous. Hey, why are you going to ask me questions and then answer them with tweets?
I understand. I didn't know if that was something that was like widespread knowledge. And again, if somebody has put that out, I'm sorry.
Happen? Yeah, it definitely happened.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the people of Dogs HQ are beyond reproach. So,
yeah, that's true. Well, he did. If he tweeted about it, he tweeted about it. You know, that's who he is. That's Josh Brooks. And I mean, you know, kudos to them. I noticed they didn't rush the court after Kentucky, and I thought it was coming. You've covered football for a long time, and you've seen a football field rushed before, which I have. Ole Miss did it, right? You see a basketball court getting rushed, and you're like, "Oh my God, they can't handle it! It's gonna bust! Like this place is going to explode. There's going to be too many people down there. This is a very small area." And thank goodness they didn't rush the basketball court.
They're going to rank these dogs in your mind, Jake?
I think so. They got a shot at the AP Top 25 this week for the first time since 2012. That would be pretty cool. So
yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So those kids will be teenagers. There are no cigarettes for them, no vapes, even though they probably got them. You know, they can't own them legally. So cops get out there and take these vapes away from these 13-year-olds. All right. MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy Ludeke is the man. We love Andy. And Andy's an expert in business. He's an expert in entrepreneurship. He's an expert in franchise ownership. And he wants to help you out. Go over to MyPerfectFranchise.net. Give Andy a call. He's an experienced franchise veteran, and he's got a thorough consultation and evaluation process that he wants to take you through. Because listen, we all reach a point where we kind of want to do our own thing, where we want to take ownership of something. If you're an experienced entrepreneur and you want to diversify, Andy's your guy. Or if you're somebody that wants to kind of find your American dream, Andy is also your guy. There have been success stories that have come through our website and other websites in the On3 network. And we want you to go give Andy a shot. MyPerfectFranchise.net. Put your life and your career in your own hands. And I'm sure Andy would appreciate that. And we sure would you helping him out, because he's great for us and he's great to us. All right. The portal window, Roos, is winding down. There's a little bit of a dead period coming up with the AFCA coaches convention. You know, they let these coaches get out there, and I don't know what gets accomplished at those things other than the consumption of a lot of beer and a lot of Tito's, but you know, whatever. And you know, listen, there's a lot of networking stuff goes on, but the ultimate thing there is no transfer portal visits on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't think Thursday. So this for Georgia, Jake, nobody's entering. That's over with the Carson Beck extravaganza. And only a couple more days, really, to add guys. I think Georgia could make it work in some special circumstances if it was the right guy. What's been your thought, just in general, of the transfer portal window before we dig into kind of what's next for Georgia?
Well, I posted this picture on Twitter of a lion just hiding in the grass. And I said, this was Kirby and the boys waiting for the season to be over before they got active in it. And that's what it felt like to me, man. Like, you saw them come off of the Sugar Bowl and just kind of put the pedal to the floor and come out swinging with it. So I thought that they've done a nice job. I think that they've addressed some needs. I think that there are some things that it's felt like to me that they were kind of pursuing that they didn't necessarily get figured out. you know, a running back. It seemed like they were attached to a couple of guys at the running back spot. But then you go out and you add a guy like Micah Bell. Does that kind of take care of that? I don't know if it addresses the need fully. It's probably part of the equation. And then, you know, quarterback-wise, you go out and they seem to be poking around. You know, there was the Mendoza kid from he was from Cal, right? The Mendoza kid is out there. He ends up with Indiana. Deshaun Purdy was another guy they got involved with. Then he goes to Florida. Now he's not going to Florida. Now maybe he comes to Georgia. Who knows what's going to happen with that? It seems like there are a couple of areas where they have you know, still had some interest, but haven't necessarily been able to pull things off. Overall, though, you know, look, did you miss on Dane Key? Yes, absolutely. Georgia wanted him, but I think you found a fine replacement for him in Noah Thomas and a guy that James Coley's got a lot of familiarity with. And then Zach Branch was a guy that you would have had circled from the jump. As soon as his name went in, you were like, wow, that would be amazing. And soon you're going to have to change your facial hair based on that happening. So
I'm trying to negotiate the term down right now. I can get it down to like a show or a couple of shows.
I think that they have done a really admirable job. Safety depth, right? Addressed it with three guys. Now, you know, say what you
it
want.
May not be done. Brandon Cisse is out there and Travaris Robinson went to see him this week. And I do believe I would pick South Carolina as a landing spot there, just reading the tea leaves. But if we're talking about this kind of in reality, if we're giving you like, hey, what's this going on right now? Georgia's still battling for Brandon Cisse. They're also still battling for Myquise Grace out of South Dakota. I love how you're
out there, right? Now with the Damon Wilson thing, they really need to address that position. And perhaps that's one that pushes itself into the spring just based on the timing of when everything happened.
I could
kind of see that being the case.
Yeah, tamper somebody into the portal, baby.
Just 100%, man. Look, that's the name of the game, brother. So overall, I feel like –
I don't even mind saying it out loud because Georgia just –
it's common knowledge. Let's stop pretending.
Yeah,
this is like when we used to pretend that kids weren't getting paid, but we knew that they were. Like, it's happening. Being tampered with.
Like you're fishing. It's like you're over here fishing. You're on one side of the boat. You got a guy fishing behind you over here, and he's over here selling your fish out of your cooler. You
know? Yeah, 100%.
Stop you really? And it's going on. So what I'm just going to go buy fish from this other guy's cooler. You know, I want that. I want that. You know, red drum. That's good looking fish.
God, I'm going to be eating fish tonight, though. I know that one way or the other.
Let me tell you this though. One thing I got to about the portal, so and I'm not. This is more of like a fable, I would say. More of like there's a lesson here, not necessarily. And I'm not preaching anybody. There's just kind of a lesson here. But so Dane Key, right? That sucked. I mean, you know, it was all Georgia. It sucked for everybody involved. Everybody but Nebraska.
Right.
And, you know, Georgia's leading. I'm pretty sure Nebraska kind of like threw a money bomb in the middle of the thing. And they got him. And that sucked. And you're like, kind of like, dang, there goes Georgia's ex. Let me ask you something. Let's say he commanded 40% more than what Noah Thomas commanded in terms of NIL. Is he a 40% better football player, do you think?
No, probably not. Yeah.
And so that's something I've been kind of thinking about with all this whole NIL thing is like, I know there's such a, I want it now. Let me get it. Let's get this. Let's make a splash. Let's get some momentum. You know, it's kind of the fans game a little bit, the bragging rights game. And I think folks get so wrapped up into that you don't necessarily think about the fact that, all right, well, if Dane Key went to, you know, Nebraska for, and I'm just going to use a figure, just say $1 million, but Georgia was able to get Noah Thomas for $600,000, then, you know, I mean, I think you got a pretty good situation there. I mean, I think it worked out really well for you.
And I mean, realistically, I don't know. I mean, going through the numbers and kind of considering, I mean, all things considered, I don't know. Do you feel like he's a wildly better player?
No, that's the thing. Like, what I can see to you, like, if, okay, devil's advocate here, you're sitting there arguing with me on behalf of the God. Dane Key was a horrible miss for Georgia, and it's crippled the program. Like, you're arguing that, and I'll concede to you that he's better. Like, I'll concede to you that if you give me the choice of Dane Key or Noah Thomas, and I don't know that everybody would think this way, but I would. I'd take Dane Key. I would. Both of them had horrible quarterback situations this past year. I think Noah Thomas gives you more splash play, more big play, game-changing type plays, whereas Dane Key is more that natural-born wide-out, get open for you on third down. You know, there's a steady reliability factor there. But I tell you what I do love. I love the combination of a 6'6", high catch radius, doesn't have to be open, but can get open wide out, and a 5'10", 5'9" speedster working in the slot, who is very, to me, similar to Dominic Lovett in terms of play style, but is more explosive than Dominic Lovett, who I think is maybe built to be more the player that Dominic Lovett was wanting to be at Georgia. So, I just think that, you know, when we look back at the transfer portal, if you're one of those folks that was kind of living and dying by every decision early on in the portal, I think you kind of got to look at it from a big picture perspective. And I'm not saying this to be like, hey, you don't know ball, but maybe kind of back away from it and look like, all right, listen, you don't get this guy, but if you get a guy down the line, maybe he's not quite as good as this guy. But when you're trying to add other pieces, was missing on Dane Key give Georgia the ability to maybe put a few more bucks in their pocket to add a third safety in this class, or
suddenly, let's say the numbers that you were working with was right. Yeah, let's say it's $600,000 versus $1 million, right? $400,000. Well, you need an edge pretty bad, I would say. Yeah. I think that you need some experience there. Suddenly, you've got some cap room. You know,
And one of the things that nobody thinks about in this whole thing. And I get it. I don't know that fans are programmed to think about it this way. But if you go out there and let's say there's a Caleb Downs type player that hits the portal and you just wipe out your portal budget on one player, we got to have him. Well, that dude gets rolled up on just right during preseason camp, has to have tightrope, misses 6 weeks of the season, misses another 3 or 4 weeks before he's back to himself. Brother, you don't get to go work out eight players who used to perform in that league and see who can help you the most. You don't get to do that. Sure. So you've got to be able to add a little bit of depth, even though I think it's hurting in some places. But you've got to be able to add a little bit of depth. You can't just go crazy making sure you stay on the top shelf with all of these portal additions and all these splash additions. And it's a balancing act. And listen, everybody has to work out their own deal as they move forward, because there's stuff that happens outside of your control. There's stuff that happens inside of your control. And I think the teams that are doing such a good job of bringing in high numbers of high school kids, the ones that have built their programs to be able to do that, the ones that are not having to rely on the portal for 20 guys every year, the ones that are relying on a high number of high school kids, I think are just in such better shape. Because if you bring in, if you're Georgia and you're bringing in 25 to 28, and let's say you're only retaining 55% of that class, that's a lot of continuity comparatively. It's a lot of continuity.
Absolutely. No question.
All right. Prize picks, Jake Roos. Listen, we're going all national championship in this bad boy. And listen, if you don't know what prize picks are, it's daily fantasy. It's skills based. If you can read a box score, if you can go through and analyze some data, if you watch games, If you've got an uncle that at the family reunion tells you that he would be the best gambler you've ever seen, put him to the test. Put him to the test on how he knows ball. Because he says he knows ball well enough to pick the plus or minus on every game out there. Let's see if he can pick per player. Because this daily fantasy stuff is awesome. It's a lot of fun. And you can go on over to Prize Picks right now. Use promo code DOGS. And they will give you $50 for your first deposit and play of $5 or more. Will Howard, Roos, is basically a free play, one half pass yards. I took the over on that. That's one thing you can take. I think Will Howard will have a passing yard. So I picked Will Howard there. We're going to take that freebie. And then what we're going to do is we're going to come over here to Riley Leonard, 35 and a half rush yards. Now, I think Riley Leonard's going to get sacked. think Riley Leonard's probably going to get loose for two or three runs. I've just seen it happen too many times. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that seems fair to me. I can totally believe that 35 to me for Riley Leonard feels a little bit low because he has the ability to break off a 15 or 20 at times.
Okay. Now, here's where your expert analysis comes in, and this is where I need confirmation. Now, Jeremiah Smith is him. Capital H, capital I, capital M. He is him. Now, I do think Texas showed us something against Ohio State. If you can shut down Jeremiah Smith, you can slow down this Ohio State offense, even if it takes extra resources. I don't see how Notre Dame doesn't do the same thing. So 83.5 receiving yards after what we just saw, no indictment on him as a football player because he's the best player in the country. He's the best. He'd be number one pick in the NFL draft. But Notre Dame's going to use that game plan, right?
I would have to assume so. But the thing about it is I'm personally going to take him for more because Ooh. I think Jeremiah Smith cannot be stopped. I think Jeremiah Smith comes back.
But what about he's what Texas just did?
Look, he's one of those dudes. What I'm saying is he's taking that personally, Jake. It was like when he was going into that Oregon game and he said, look, I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. I'm going to go off like that. Texas sold out to stop him. And I guarantee Notre Dame's going to have to do the same thing. But at the end of the day, how'd it work out for Texas? I mean, yes, they were able to control him, but were they able to control the offense as a whole? No.
Yeah, so, that's what I was getting at. They kind of were. I mean, Ohio State scored 21 points and seven of those came on a kind of a weird looking screenplay that they underthrew and there was like 40 yards of nothing. It was kind of weird. So that's what I was kind of getting at is Texas used.
I also am skeptical that Notre Dame has the athletes back there in the secondary that Texas does.
Yeah, you could be right on that. That could be a really good point there. But listen, we're going to submit that prize picks. We're going to take the under. I'm going to take the under on Jeremiah Smith. Maybe Roos can say I told you so this time next week. But we're going to take that, and it was a free play. So we're going to take our free play and see if we can make it happen. So that was our free play for this week. Use promo code DOGS over at Prize Pick. And let's talk about this national championship game and get more into this Jeremiah Smith thing because, see, listen, I feel like it kind of came back at the point I've been trying to make all year long about portal wide receivers and portal offense and all that stuff. I've never said – once that I think it's a bad idea or that you don't need playmakers or the receivers don't matter. I just say that a lot of the problems that people have, not just Georgia, but Tennessee board, all of those fan bases is that their offense sitting out there scoring in bunches and gobs every week in and week out. And I'm not saying you got unrealistic expectations in that. I know you understand there's going to be off weeks, but more often than not, you want your offense out there clicking and looking great. And more often than not now, the steady excuse to go to is we didn't pay for the right players. We didn't pay for enough players. We didn't pay enough for players. Listen, Ohio State, Texas, and Oregon all spent big-time money on portal players. All three of those offenses have had their issues in the playoffs. Now, Ohio State's has looked great in two games, phenomenal.
But I also we don't hear the name mentioned as much, but, I mean, I don't think that Notre Dame is – shopping out of the bargain bin all the time either.
Not necessarily. They went and got Riley Leonard, but they didn't just like I mean Ohio State went and got Quinshon Judkins and
I'm not comparing the two. I don't think that this is the little team that could versus
But my point was that kind of you can go spend big money on the quarterback in the portal, and you can go spend big money on the Megatron lookalike at receiver, and you're still not immunized from struggling offensively, that you're still not immunized from being inconsistent offensively. And that's not something that just started with Ohio State. Ohio State's very fortunate that this is the 12-team playoff year because Michigan would have eliminated them from any other playoff year, straight up. Michigan would have flat out eliminated them. So, it's, you know, and in the same case for Georgia, maybe, you know, with the two losses and all that stuff. I'm not trying to bring Georgia into this, or I'm not trying to paint Ohio State as somebody that did it right or wrong. I'm going to that kind of de facto excuse of we didn't pay for the player because right. At the end of the day, Texas used extra resources on shutting down Jeremiah Smith, and they did. and the Ohio State offense was very much a shell of itself. And when you kind of build it around one kind of thing, those kind of things happen. And ultimately, I do think Georgia needs to get better personnel-wise on offense. I think it's got to coach better offensively, whether it's new coaches or the coaches they got. Something's got to change there if they want to get better. But I'm still pushing against this narrative to break the bank every chance you get with bringing in offensive talent. And I think we learned.
No question about it, man. Look, defense still matters. At the end of the day, Ohio State, it worked for them. There's no question about it. They went out, they spent, it worked for them. Like you said, Texas, Oregon, Ole Miss, Alabama, they're all sitting at home, just like Georgia is too, right? So it's not – there is not a situation where I think that this is the end-all, be-all. And quite frankly, if Ohio State pulls it off, they'll be the first ones to do it. And that's – there's something to be said for that as well. Now, that's not nothing, and I'm not saying that you don't do it. I'm not saying that you avoid doing it by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that there are more sustainable approaches. And there were times where I think Ohio State was probably doubting some of their investment over the course of this season as well. You know, you've talked extensively about, you know, this was not – they had incomplete performances just like everybody else.
They did. They did. So, a lot of shaky ones and lost some games. Lost some games because of silly mistakes and plays and – you know, was kind of fortunate to beat Nebraska. And listen, I got to give all the credit in the world to Ryan Day. And I kind of thought that Tennessee had the matchup to beat Ohio State, but I also thought that Tennessee was in some trouble because I saw what Ohio State looked like after it lost to Michigan and got a new lease on life in the playoff against Georgia. And that team was inspired. All right. And I think Ryan Day is one of the best coaches in college football. I think people are cuckoo for wanting to get him out of town. I mean, I made the joke about him being John Cooper just to kind of stoke the flames, but John Cooper was a heck of a coach. Sure. But yeah, it's this playoff's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see how the game plays out because so much of what we didn't think was going to happen has happened this year in college football. And I still think that's very much on the table.
What was it? 9.5, I think, the spread on this one?
I think so. I think so, yeah. So that means Notre Dame all the way.
Who are you picking?
I'd pick Notre Dame to cover that.
Yeah, but you pick Ohio State to win.
Ohio State's going to win.
Yeah, I do too. I think so as well. And I think that they'll cover the spread.
Yeah.
I don't think Notre Dame has the athletes.
Listen, maybe some more portal news this week. Maybe not. If there is, we'll be back. And if there's not – we'll also be back. So we love you. Take care.